Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised 2nd Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 296 of Heroes Unlimited, and at last we've arrived at the final page of the Major Super Abilities section. This has been kind of an odd section of the book in terms of my podcasting schedule, and not only because of the gigantic computer crash and subsequent re-recording, but also because these powers, I feel like I've had to approach them all in quite different ways. We've had everything from really serious rules complaints about the implementation of some of these powers, like tentacles, for example. There have been conceptual issues, like with karmic power, issues with the fiction, like the rationalization of a superpower, like intangibility. And then there have been all kinds of miscellaneous things, like, you know, we did all those bug rates episodes. The cloaking episode was basically an episode of The Whistler, which is something I've always wanted to do. There are a lot of different ways that a superpower can be dumb, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And now we've arrived at our final superpower that we're going to be discussing, the vibration superpower. And this is actually a really good opportunity to take a little bit of a higher level look at how dumb superpowers are and how dumb they ought to be. Now, vibration is split into a number of different subpowers. It does all kinds of different stuff for you. You can shoot sort of vibration beams. You can create shockwaves in the ground. You can feel vibrations in the air around you, so you can have this sort of motion detector warning system. This power increases your speed. It increases your damage a little bit. Naturally, it gives you a bunch of SDC. But because we really want to talk about the dumbness of superpowers per se today, we're going to be focusing on subpowers 3 and 4, Vibrate Through Substances and Vibrate to Become Intangible. Now, I want you to forget everything you know about comic books for just a moment. Suspend all that knowledge, suspend that distinctive comic book mindset. Imagine that you are reading some YA novel or watching some sci-fi movie, and you are hearing this about a character for the first time. Quote, "The character can make his body vibrate so quickly that he is able to pass through solid matter. The only limitations are that he can only vibrate through inorganic, non-living material, such as rock, concrete, processed wood, steel, etc. And speed is reduced to 1/3 normal." Which means that if you are out on a jog and you decide you'd like to get home a little early for brunch, so you decide to go ahead and take a shortcut directly through the rear wall of the bakery, through the shop, and out the other side, you can do that by vibrating extremely quickly, but your speed is reduced by 1/3. Your intangible feet can carry you through the bakery at a mere 1/3 of your normal jogging rate. What do we think about this concept? The concept of shaking it so hard and so fast that you pass through solid objects. First impressions. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. This is absolutely ridiculous. This has not even the most tenuous of connections between the rationalization of this ability and the ability itself. Like shrinking, where you condense your molecules to become very tiny, as is sometimes done in comic book science, stupid, but superficially makes a certain degree of sense, right? One can understand the connection between contracting your atoms so that they form dense little bouncy balls, that would make them smaller, therefore you would be smaller. Again, it's dumb. Please don't misconstrue that I'm saying it makes any sense. But you can understand at least the free association between the two ideas. If you have not been indoctrinated by comic books in your own most formative and dumbest years as a child, I submit that you would see no connection between vibrating really fast and passing through matter. It's also very questionable why this power only allows you to pass through inanimate objects. You can't even pass through a living tree, or I guess a dead tree. It has to be processed wood before you can pass through it. Now, I am descended from a clan of lumberjacks, true story, but even I cannot tell you at what point the subtle and mystical alchemical process happens during the lumber life cycle when a tree becomes something that a vibrating character can pass through. But yeah, somewhere in there is a metaphysical shift from tree to lumber, and that's the point where your vibration abilities kick in. However, you can also pass through living things, or at least they can pass through you, using a separate power. Subpower 4, Vibrate to Become Intangible. Quote, "The character can vibrate so fast that any physical attacks, such as bullets, knives, punches, etc., pass harmlessly through him. Energy attacks, fire, electricity, etc. do 1/3 normal damage. Note, the character is also semi-transparent when intangible." This is a separate power. It's got a separate duration. Vibrate through substances lasts just long enough for you to run through the tangible thing, whereas the duration of vibrating to become intangible to avoid attacks is 1 minute for every PE point you have. So if you want to use this power to turn intangible defensively, so that people, if they try to punch you, their hands pass right through, you can maintain that for several minutes. However, it uses up all your melee attacks, so you're on pure defense. Please note also, humorously, that the range of vibrate to become intangible, to avoid, you know, bullets and knives and stuff, is self and items on his person, but the range for vibrating through a wall is self only, which I guess means you gotta strip down or at least take everything out of your pockets before you walk through a wall. It's like going through airport security. You know, you've had a stressful day, you try to walk through that wall, it's not working, clink, 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 oh shit, I left my keys in my pocket, hold on everybody. But yeah, none of this makes sense, none of this is defensible. The very idea of vibrating through an object, not like drilling through, but just vibrating so much that you pass through as though it weren't there, the idea that you would need two separate powers, one for vibrating through things defensively and another for vibrating through things to travel through them, and one of them works on living things and one of them doesn't, and they last for different lengths of time because you're doing a different kind of shaken. All of this is patently ridiculous. But it's not ridiculous because the author of this book is a dummy. It's ridiculous because the author of this book, whatever else we may say about him, knows comic books and knows that vibrating through objects is a comic book standby. It's been something that superheroes have done, I don't know, I guess since Barry Allen. I don't know if Jay Garrick ever vibrated through objects. I think it started with Barry Allen, but at this point it's become a trope for super speedsters in comic books, and you just kind of got to take it on comic book faith. You know, you got to cross yourself and bow your head and just accept this is comic books. I'm going to take them wherever they lead me. And before anybody starts on some kind of quantum tunneling bullshit, that's a marginally better rationalization for how this is supposed to work. But in my opinion, inconsistent with the way this power is portrayed in pretty much every instance. When the Flash is portrayed going through a wall, it's not this like weird, probabilistic, non-Newtonian event. It's portrayed like flour being sifted, where Flash is the flour and the wall is the sieve, right? But that doesn't even matter. The scientific rationale doesn't matter. It's comic books. We just accept that dumb things sometimes happen. They're part of the world. And if you accept them, they don't ruin the story. I guess I want to take this opportunity. The last day we're talking about superpowers, I think it's not controversial that this is dumb. The question is, how dumb do we want superpowers to be? And in what way do we want them to be dumb? Putting aside the fact that it's dumb, is this power good? Are we glad it's here? And for me, at least, the answer is yes. The thing you need to know about me as a consumer of media, and that you may know if you listen to my other podcast, Gameable, is that I am extremely forgiving about premise. You know, I have grown in sophistication in my approach to media over the years, but when it comes to premise, I am still that fat little baby who started watching television days after leaving the hospital. I will just accept whatever you tell me. I have no standards. And this may possibly account for, or perhaps arise from, my long association with comic books. In fact, I'm often frustrated by attempts to sell me on the premise. Like, I remember when I read the Superman comics in the 90s, there would sometimes be talk about, like, the micro-thin force field around Superman's body that actually accounts for his invulnerability, and why his skin-tight suit isn't torn to shreds by flying through the sun, for example, but his cape does get blown up by explosions. And there was this whole thing about, like, oh yeah, it's this pseudo-telekinetic force that blah blah blah, and I'm just like, shh, shh, I don't care, he's Superman, it's fine. If you tell me that he can't be blown up, then he just can't be blown up, it's all right. This comic has got like 32 pages, what are you doing? So that's where I stand on this. I am fully willing to accept dumb superpowers. And a good thing too, because as you can see, if you take a quick kind of flip through the superpowers in Heroes Unlimited, these things really work on an intuitive level that doesn't seem like it will bear a scientific explanation. Like the chameleon major power is a great example of this. Other than actually being bitten by a radioactive chameleon, there seems to be no connection between the disguise ability and the adhesion ability. So they're powers that thematically go together, but it's hard to imagine like a common scientific cause for the two of them. Similarly, gem powers. The ability to get superpowers in various ways by touching like gemstones and crystals and stuff, I can't imagine a plausible explanation for that really. And why you would get specific powers from specific gems, there's simply no explanation. It's totally wrongheaded. You're barking up the wrong tree trying to justify and rationalize this kind of superpower. It doesn't make scientific sense. It makes a different kind of sense. It makes narrative sense. And that's where I am willing to come down on these powers. What I want out of a superpower is it works the way that you say it works. And crucially, it sets up the kind of situation that you want to set up for the character and then maintains that situation. So, for example, this is my problem with BioGhost. I mean, I have no scientific journal I can point to. I have no robust body of scientific literature that I can whip out in a scathing literature review and say, Palladium, you really got it wrong. You done fucked up when it comes to the amount of damage ghost vampires do. You can set that damage at whatever you want. It's comic books, and they're not real. But the narrative situation you're setting up, where you are like a predator who has to make a trade-off between feeding on human beings and having the power to do good in the world, that narrative situation is going to be important to the character. And if you claim to be setting it up, you need to really be setting it up, which means, as we discussed in that episode, the feeding has got to be pretty harsh. It's got to be damaging enough that there's a real trade-off for the power it gives you. And I do expect ghosts and vampires, and certainly ghost vampires, doubly so ghost vampires, to be scary and dangerous. So if you write a power where you're not scary, you're not dangerous, and there's no real trade-off, I'm not going to bust your chops on science grounds. I'm not out here trying to Neil deGrasse Tyson you about vampire ghosts, but on narrative grounds, you screwed up the story. That's the kind of dumbness that I think is fair to point out, and fair to the greatest possible extent, excise from the game. For example, I'd probably rewrite Alter Physical Structure Plasma, because the contract with the player there is you are a superheated ball of plasma, you're very powerful but very dangerous, there's a high potential for collateral damage when you use your powers, but there's also like a lot of raw energy there. You're not going to be held up by walls, by obstacles, certainly close combat with normal people, it's going to be trivial for you, but you're also going to be wrecking your environments. You got to be careful. That's the fiction of that power, and the mechanics really need to be changed to fit that fiction. You know, having a bunch of bouncers dogpile a superheated ball of gas should not be a viable tactic. This isn't just about the narrative construction either. It's also about the identity of characters, right? Plasma guy is dangerous, bio ghost guy is dangerous, but other powers affect characters in different ways, like adapt to environment, right? If you're playing a character with adapt to environment, obviously you're not trying to power game, right? You're not trying to get in the Guinness Book of World Records for how many aliens you've thrown into the sun. And you're not necessarily setting up a specific dramatic situation for the plot. What you're doing is defining a character who has a character trait, which is that they can kind of get along anywhere. They're this sort of wanderer, traveler, maybe explorer, but they can go to hostile environments and thrive there. So that's like asking the GM for a certain kind of situation, but it's also defining who your character is going to be in those situations. This is another place where I think superpowers can be a bad kind of dumb, because if they don't follow through with that character-defining choice that you're making, you know, you only get so many superpowers, and together they go a long way toward defining who you are. So if you pick a superpower because you want to be this particular kind of hero, and then you get a percentile roll that it only works, you know, 50% of the time, I think that's dumb because it is selling the player on a character concept that then falls through. And partly this goes to like an old school gaming sensibility that just fights against the superhero genre. Like Hawkeye, even first level Hawkeye, even rookie ass Hawkeye as a superhero shouldn't be missing shots. Not really. All manner of, super soap opera plot contrivance may strike him. His arrows may crack up against force fields. His bow may get disintegrated. He may get turned into a gaseous cloud. There's lots of ways you can deal with player character Hawkeye. But he shouldn't be rolling a d20 to see if he's a good enough archer to hit a target. He just is. And to a certain extent, you can't blame Heroes Unlimited as an older game for not being adapted to that style of play. On the other hand, that bullshit that we saw with Heightened Sense of Taste, you don't need to be some freewheeling indie game jazz cat to realize that if your superpower is tasting things real good, you should be able to taste things real good. You shouldn't be stuck with, what, like a 50-something percentile to taste accurately? So I think that's a fair, dumb thing to hold against some of these powers. And then the final category of dumb thing that I think is fair to call out as dumb, at least off the top of my head, it's just sheer mechanical implementation. Not even related to the theme of the power, but just rules butting up against other rules. And this is a thoroughgoing Palladium problem. Obviously, it's not limited to superpowers. But I think it's fair enough to call out, this speed multiplier interacts with other speed multipliers in a way that creates an exponential curve. Your speed is going to end up way, way, way too high from powers that are only sort of secondarily related to speed in a way that's going to allow, Fishman or, for example, a magically bestowed character who happens to have the vibration superpower. The vibration superpower doubles your speed attribute. Being mystically bestowed quintuples it. Just those two things alone make a character so, so fast. And this has nothing to do with the theme of vibration. It has nothing to do with the mythological archetype of the mystically bestowed character. It has everything to do with the author of this game applying slapdash math to these powers without working it through. You could see this exponential escalation problem coming a mile away if you pay attention to what you're doing. I think that's a fair criticism of these powers. Beyond all that, the ones that are just dumb because they're superpowers, I'm absolutely fine with. And many of the ones that I've called out as the dumbest on an individual page fall into that category. Spin at high velocity, night stalking, bio armor, both kinds of shrinking, just fine. just fine. One of the key differences between Heroes Unlimited and Ninjas and Super Spies we talked about last season is that it's just a dumb genre. Part of the charm of the superhero genre is that even compared to a James Bond movie, and I realize that's a big statement, even compared to James Bond, comic books are dumb as hell. And that's good. It's fun. It's part of the genre. And this book wouldn't be complete without dumb powers. As in fact, you know, not to name any names, I think there are much better constructed superhero games on the market that are not as good as Heroes Unlimited in a certain way because they aren't full of dumb powers, like the ability to wiggle so hard you can walk through walls. You can't really have a traditional classic superhero world without dumb powers like that. So I commend Heroes Unlimited. I'll wrap up this section that has been highly critical of this game with that. Vibrating Through Substances, thumbs up. It's dumb. It needed to be dumb. It needed to be here. And overall, I think this section does a good job of unabashedly embracing the dumbness of the genre. There are lots of fair criticisms to be made, and I think that there is a core criticism of the randomness of this section that actually does hurt this game's ability to create characters who feel like comic book superheroes, but the powers themselves, in their basic conceptualization, generally speaking, the superheroes in this game are going to feel like superheroes, and that is a real accomplishment. So with that little summation over, we are done with superpowers, but we are not done with superhero powers. There are many more strange abilities to come. So join me next time as we get started on psionic powers on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.